Chapter 141. The second hunt in the mountains, fair dawned, over the hills of Martyr, the jocund morning of our hunt. Everything had been prepared for it overnight, and, when we arrived at the house, a good breakfast was spread by Shorty. And old Tono I was bustling about like an innkeeper. Several of his men, also, were in attendance to accompany us with calabashes of food, and, in case we met with any success, to officiate as bearers of burdens on our return. Apprised, the evening previous, of the meditated sport, the doctor had announced his willingness to take part there. Now, subsequent events made us regard this expedition as a shrewd device of the Yankees. Once get us off on a pleasure trip, and with what face could we afterward refuse to work? Beside, he enjoyed all the credit of giving us a holiday. Nor did he omit assuring us that, work or play, our wages were all the while running on. A dilapidated old musket of Tonoi's was borrowed for the doctor. It was exceedingly short and heavy, with a clumsy lock, which required a strong finger to pull the trigger. On trying the piece, by firing at a mark, Long Ghost was satisfied that it could not fail of doing execution. The charge went one way, and he the other. Upon this, he endeavored to negotiate an exchange of muskets with Shorty, but the Cockney was proof against his blandishments. At last, he entrusted his weapon to one of the natives to carry for him. Marshalling our forces, we started for the head of the valley, near which a path ascended to a range of high land, said to be a favorite resort of the cattle. Shortly after gaining the heights, a small herd, some way off, was perceived entering a wood. We hurried on, and, dividing our party, went in after them at four different points, each white man followed by several natives. I soon found myself in a dense covert, and, after looking round, was just emerging into a clear space, when I heard a report, and a bullet knocked the bark from a tree nearby. The same instant there was a trampling and crashing, and five bullocks, nearly abreast, broke into view across the opening, and plunged right toward the spot where myself and three of the islanders were standing. They were small, black, vicious-looking creatures, with short, sharp horns, red nostrils, and eyes like coals of fire. On they came, their dark woolly heads hanging down. By this time my island backers were roosting among the trees. Glancing round, for an instant, to discover a retreat in case of emergency, I raised my piece, when a voice cried out, from the wood, "Eight between the horns, Paul! Right between the horns!" Down went my barrel in range with a small white tuft on the forehead of the headmost one, and, letting him have it, I darted to one side. As I turned again, the five bullocks shot by like a blast, making the air eddy in their wake. The Yankee now burst into view, and saluted them in flank. Whereupon, the fierce little bull with the tufted forehead, flirted his long tail over his buttocks, kicked out with his hind feet, and shot forward a full length. It was nothing but a graze, and, in an instant, they were out of sight, the thicket into which they broke rocking overhead, and marking their progress. The action over, the heavy artillery came up, in the person of the long doctor with the blunderbuss. "Where are they?" he cried, out of breath. "A mile or two off, by this time," replied the Cockney. "El Lord, Paul, I knew ought to have sent an hailstone into that little black gun." While excusing my want of skill, as well as I could, Zeke, rushing forward, suddenly exclaimed, "Creation! What are you about there, Peter?" Peter, incensed at our ill luck, and ignorantly imputing it to the cowardice of our native auxiliaries, was bringing his piece to bear upon his trembling squire, the musket carrier now descending a tree. Pulling trigger, the bullet went high over his head, and, hopping to the ground, bellowing like a calf, the fellow ran away as fast as his heels could carry him. The rest followed us, after this, with fear and trembling. After forming our line of march anew, we went on for several hours without catching a glimpse of the game, the reports of the muskets having been heard at a great distance. At last, we mounted a craggy height to obtain a wide view of the country. From this place, we beheld three cattle quietly browsing in a green opening of a wood below, the trees shutting them in all round. A general re-examination of the muskets now took place, followed by a hasty lunch from the calabashes. We then started. As we descended the mountainside, the cattle were in plain sight until we entered the forest, when we lost sight of them for a moment, but only to see them again, as we crept close up to the spot where they grazed. They were a bull, a cow, and a calf. The cow was lying down in the shade, by the edge of the wood, the calf, sprawling out before her in the grass, licking her lips, while old Taurus himself stood close by, casting a paternal glance at this domestic little scene, and conjugally elevating his nose in the air. "Now then," said Zeke, in a whisper, "let's take the poor creatures, while they are huddled together. Crawl along, boys, crawl along. Fire together, mind, and not till I say the word." We crept up to the very edge of the open ground, and knelt behind a clump of bushes, resting our leveled barrels among the branches. The slight rustling was heard. Taurus turned round, dropped his head to the ground, and sent forth a low, sullen bellow, then snuffed the air. The cow rose on her four knees, pitched forward alinedly, and stood upon her legs, while the calf, with ears pricked, got right underneath her. All three were now grouped, and in an instant would be off. "I take the bull," cried our leader. "Fire!" The calf fell like a clod. Its dam uttered a cry, and thrust her head into the thicket, but she turned, and came moaning up to the lifeless calf, going round and round it, snuffing fiercely with her bleeding nostrils. A crashing in the wood, and a loud roar, announced the flying bull. Soon, another shot was fired, and the cow fell. Leaving some of the natives to look after the dead cattle, the rest of us hurried on after the bull, his dreadful bellowing guiding us to the spot where he lay. Wounded in the shoulder, in his fright and agony he had bounded into the wood. But when we came up to him, he had sunk to the earth in a green hollow, thrusting his black muzzle into a pool of his own blood, and tossing it over his hide in clots. The Yankee brought his piece to a rest, and, the next instant, the wild brute sprang into the air, and with his forelegs crouching under him, fell dead. Our island friends were now in high spirits, all courage and alacrity. Old Tono, I thought nothing of taking poor Taurus himself by the horns, and peering into his glazed eyes. Our ship knives were at once in request, and, skinning the cattle, we hung them high up by cords of bark from the boughs of a tree. Withdrawing into a covert, we there waited for the wild hogs, which, according to Zeke, would soon make their appearance, lured by the smell of blood. Presently we heard them coming, in two or three different directions, and, in a moment, they were tearing the offal to pieces. As only one shot at these creatures could be relied on, we intended firing simultaneously. But, somehow or other, the doctor's piece went off by itself, and one of the hogs dropped. The others then breaking into the thicket, the rest of us sprang after them, resolved to have another shot at all hazards. The cockney darted among some bushes, and, a few moments after, we heard the report of his musket, followed by a quick cry. On running up, we saw our comrade doing battle with a young devil of a boar, as black as night, whose snout had been partly torn away. Firing when the game was in full career, and coming directly toward him, Shorty had been assailed by the enraged brute. It was now crunching the breech of the musket, with which he had tried to club it, Shorty holding fast to the barrel, and fingering his waist for a knife. Being in advance of the others, I clapped my gun to the boar's head, and so put an end to the contest. Evening now coming on, we set to work loading our carriers. The cattle were so small that a stout native could walk off with an entire quarter, brushing through thickets, and descending rocks without an apparent effort, though, to tell the truth, no white man present could have done the thing with any ease. As for the wild hogs, none of the islanders could be induced to carry Shorty's some invincible superstition being connected with its black color. We were, therefore, obliged to leave it. The other, a spotted one, being slung by green thongs to a pole, was marched off with by two young natives. With our bearers of burdens ahead, we then commenced our return down the valley. Halfway home, darkness overtook us in the woods, and torches became necessary. We stopped, and made them of dry palm branches, and then, sending two lads on in advance for the purpose of gathering fuel to feed the flambeau, we continued our journey. It was a wild sight. The torches, waved aloft, flashed through the forest, and, where the ground admitted, the islanders went along on a brisk trot, notwithstanding they bent forward under their loads. Their naked backs were stained with blood, and occasionally, running by each other, they raised wild cries which startled the hillsides. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.